combination of Gemara and Zayin HaKadosh.
The Gemara says that Rabbi Yossi once was walking along a road, an isolated road, and time came for him to daven, early davening mincha. And he saw an uninhabited house there.
And he walked in. This is one of the homes that were destroyed from the churbanos of Yerushalayim. He went inside there to daven. While there, Eliyahu Navi came, waited to him by the door until he finished his tefillah. When he finished the tefillah, Eliyahu Navi greeted him, and he said to him, Shalom Alecha, Rabbi. Rabbi Yossi replied, Shalom Alecha, Rabbi Almighty. And then they went into further conversation. Before we get to the conversation, which discusses the type of house Rabbi Yossi was in, let's first analyze very deeply this first exchange, something which has many Siddur secrets and Hiskalos revelations to it. Let's identify Rabbi Yossi first. Rabbi Yossi was one of the main Talmidim of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Zal. By the main, we mean he had six main Talmidim, which comprised what was known as the Meneda. Meneda is seven candles. The central candle to which the other three turned to, this was Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Zal, representing the Shabbos, and the other six, three and three, were the other students, representing the weeks of the days. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda, one of his students, said, Unto Shabbos de Kulayemi, you are considered the Shabbos of all days. Rabbi Yossi was one of those main six students. Eliyahu Navi said to Rabbi Yossi, Shalom Alecha Rabbi. Rabbi Yossi replied, Shalom Alecha Rabbi Almighty. What does the word Rabbi mean? It could have two meanings. The word Rabbi alone. Rabbi means rabbi. Rabbi could also be my rabbi. In other words, there's a difference. Rabbi alone, you would say to any rabbi. Rabbi, my rabbi, you would say only to one who is higher than you. In other words, one rabbi would say to the next rabbi, but if the second rabbi was greater than himself, he would say, Rabbi, my rabbi. Eliyahu Navi said to Rabbi Yossi, apparently, Rabbi, play, rabbi. Rabbi Yossi answered, Rabbi Umayri. Now, for the word Umayri, we can determine what the Rabbi means. Mora is teacher, Mayri, my teacher. Rabbi means the same as Mayri, my rabbi and my teacher. Which means that in the greeting here, Eliyahu Navi was the master. Rabbi Yossi was the Talmud. Rabbi Yossi's rabbi, Rabbi Shimon Yochai Zal, we find in a different light. There, when there was an exchange of greetings with Eliyahu Navi, always, Eliyahu Navi said to Rabbi Shimon Yochai, Rabbi. Rabbi could be rabbi or my rabbi. But from the response, we're always, Rabbi Shimon Yochai Zal said to Eliyahu Navi, Mar. Mar means same as Mr. or a respectful term, which could be said to a Talmud. So there we see the superiority of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Zal, who was so great that he was called rabbi by everyone, including the greatest of the heavenly forces. In fact, as you heard before, Rabbi Shimon Yochai Zal once heard a voice calling him by his name without the word rabbi, and this was in a gathering of the heavenly realm. Shimon Yochai Zal said, whoever is calling me by my name without the word Rabbi could be no one, no person, no neshama, and no angel in heaven. It must be only Hashem himself. Because no one would call me by my name without the word Rabbi, prefacing it. Even Meshu Rabbeinu, when he spoke to Shimon Yochai Zal, never called him by his name, always called him Butzina Kadisha, which means holy light. Therefore, he responded to Hashem when he heard his name being called. That's what was. Whereas in the case of Rabbi Yossi, Eliyahu Navi respected him as a student of Shimon Yochai Zal, as a rabbi, and called him Rabbi. Rabbi Yossi, in turn, said to him, Shalom Alecha, Rabbi Almighty, accepting him as his rabbi, because he was the rabbi of most of the rabbis in existence, Eliyahu Navi. Now, we find that Moshe Rabbeinu, in his ascent to heaven, going up to heaven to receive the Torah, Hashem showed Meshe Rabbeinu, the future. Again, to make this more clear, in the relationship between rabbis, among rabbis, let's take the case of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Yochanan ben Zakkai was the chief rabbi of the Gemara two generations before Rabbi Akiva. He had five major students: Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol, who was the greatest, Rabbi Elazar ben Aroch, machlokes in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya, Rabbi Yosi HaKohen, Rabbi ben Asanel, and these five, they are buried in Tiberias, those that visited there together. These five students were Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, having five students of such great stature, still when he spoke to them or about them, he would call them by their name. Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol, Rabbi Shimon Hanani, would speak by their name without the title Rabbi, to teach them humility. They are Talmidim, and before their rabbi, they cannot use their title Rabbi. Therefore, he never would call them by the name Rabbi. Abis imagined who they were. Eliezer HaGadol was the rabbi of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, the rabbi of Rabbi Shimon Yehoizal. Still, being so great, Eliezer HaGadol, he would still call him by his name. So we see that when the title Rabbi is used, it is a tremendous honor. And this is what the honor he bestowed upon Rabbi Yosi. Now, again, to show the greatness of these students, the Gemara says that when the Meshe Rabbeinu went up to heaven, this is brought in the Midrashim. Of course, it's not mentioned in the Gemara openly because this deals with something that's a topic that's not mentioned in the Gemara. It's more of Seder Kabbalah. Say, Meshe Rabbeinu went up to heaven. Hashem showed him the future generations, and he saw Rabbi Akiva teaching Torah. He was so amazed at the greatness of Rabbi Akiva, to the extent where he asked Hashem, how come it that Rabbi Akiva is not the Rabbeinu of all Jews? He is surely worthy of it more than I am. He knows more Torah than I do. In fact, the Medrash says that. When the Torah says, like, come Navi Eid Kamesha, that ever again arose a Navi like Meshe Rabbeinu. True. But a Chacham like Meshe Rabbeinu did arise, and that was Rabbi Akiva. He saw this greatness of Rabbi Akiva, and he said, if this is the greatness of Rabbi Akiva, I would like to see his rabbi. He is this great. How great is his rabbi? Let me see a sample of the Kedusha and the Teda of Rabbi Akiva's rabbi. This is what he saw. Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol and Rabbi Akiva were once walking along a road in Eretz Yisrael, and Rabbi Akiva said to Eliezer HaGadol, he said, Rabbi Tarsheni, Rabbi, allow me to ask a question. Eliezer HaGadol said, ask. The Akiva said, we find in the Sheshes Yemei Bereishis, 6 days of creation, what the Pasuk says, Hashem said, let there be light, Yehi Eir. And then it says, Vayichein, it was so. Hashem said, let this happen, Vayichein, it was so. How can we find that Hashem created Adam, he didn't say, let there be Adam, Vayichein, it was so. Where is the Vayichein? How come we don't find the confirmation in this creation? It was as Hashem said. Eliezer HaGadol answered, whenever the heavenly powers joined to take part in the creation of anything, then it says Vayichein, it was so. But when it was a creation by Hashem himself, required Hashem himself to create it, then it doesn't say Vayichein, because we don't need a confirmation of Hashem's creation. Hashem created it, wasn't necessary to say Vayichein. Just as we see that it says that Vihine Toiv, Vayarikim Ki Toiv, Hashem saw that it was good. What kind of a statement is that? Hashem created and then saw that it was good? Chas v'shalom, Hashem knows everything in the present. There's no past, present, or future. When a person, no matter how great a mumcha, an expert, creates something, manufactures something, after he completes it, he surveys his work and he sees it's good. Comes out right, fine. How can you say by Hashem that
after he completed it, then he saw that it was good. So that child to use that term by Hashem. The answer is that Hashem saw that the work done
by his heavenly officials was good. In other words, he placed a stamp of approval on it. But on something which Hashem himself did without the association of the others, then it doesn't say anything about Kitayv, or doesn't say Vayichen.
In the most of creation, the waters took place, the heavens took place, and so forth, as each one took part in producing something. But when it came to Adam, then it was Hashem's masterpiece. Though it says, Na'ase Adam, here specifically it says, let us create Adam. This, the Gemara says, is to teach us the modesty of a master, a judge, to say we will not judge by ourselves, we'll take in the advice of small ones, lower ones. So Hashem taught humility with this. But actuality, though, to produce a neshama, produce life, this was only the act of Hashem. This is the answer that Elazar Gadol gave to Rabbi Akiva. And then he paused, and he started to cry very bitterly, Elazar Gadol. Rabbi Akiva stood by for a moment, and then he asked Elazar Gadol, why do you cry? Is it something that I said? He said, no, it's something that you didn't pursue far enough. You don't see what I see in what you mentioned. He said, listen carefully. Hashem created light on the first day. On the second day, there was a separation. Third day, a different creation. And fourth day, there were 6 days of creation. These 6 days of creation are symbols. They represent the creation of the entire world, that is, the existence of the entire world from beginning to end. There are 6 days of creation representing the length of time, the period of the entire world's existence. Since there are 6 days of creation, that means there will be 6,000 years that this world will exist. The Shabbos stands for the rest period after the world exists 6,000 years. Then there will be 1,000 years of rest. That is the Shabbos. That means there will be a time when there will be no more of this type of work we have now, aggravation, normal life. We'll go into a world of heavenliness. 7,000th year will be one of heavenliness, pure rest like in heaven. These 6,000 years are divided. Each day is represented by a different portion of the world's existence, represented by names in Kabbalah too. The first 6 days of creation, the first 6 sfiras, Chesed, the first day, Gevura, the second, Tiferes, Netzach, Chayit, Yisod, up to the 6th day. Now, each day represents 1,000 years. First 2 days, it's Chesed and Gevura. We will not enter into the Kabbalah terms, but they could be applied very simply. First 2 days of creation, meaning the first 2,000 years, are called the days, or the thousands or 2,000 years of Tehu, emptiness, void. There is no life during those 2,000 years. There will be people, of course. There will be population. There will be civilization. But it's 2,000 years of void, because there will be no Teda. The world without Teda is a world of Tehu, void. Well, these 2,000 years are up. Then we come to 3rd day and the 4th. 3rd is Tiferes. Svita Tiferes stands for Teda. And the 3,000 year, beginning of the 3,000 year, that's when the Teda will be given. 3rd and 4th, those 2,000 years are called the Beis Alafim Teda, 2,000 years of Teda. The 5th day, the Svita for it is Hayit. Hayit means beauty. Hayit is pretty, beauty. What is this 5,000 year called? We already have 2,000 years of Tehu, of void, 2,000 years of Teta. Automatically, what should follow? There are three tkufas, 2,000 years each. Three periods of time, three eras. First is the era of void. Second, the era of Teta. Automatically, the third tkufa should be the era of Moshiach. That's the next step. That means that the schedule, as I got to say, the schedule for Moshiach to come is the beginning of the 5,000. This is height beauty. So the time for Moshiach's coming is the end of 4,000 years, beginning of the 5,000. This, of course, was much prior to that time. Beginning of the 5,000, 1,700 years ago. This took place 2,000 years ago. President Godel said, this is why I'm crying, because I see. And I see that the 5,000, the whole 1,000 years, Moshiach should come the first day. Or if he's delayed, a year later, 2 years in the 5,000. But I see the entire 5,000 in front of my eyes, and I see the change, transition from height spelled backwards. There's Dover. There's a pasuk which says, Kol Hayim Dover. The entire day shall be day of pain. Dover is pain. This beauty will be changed to pain. 5,000, instead of the beauty of Mashiach's coming, will be changed to 1,000 years of pain, struggle, suffering, deaths on the part of the Jews. I do not see the coming of Mashiach in the year 5,000. It'll be coming of the 1,000 years. It will be 1,000 years of pain and suffering rather than the scheduled arrival of Mashiach. This too is not all. I see the 6,000th year. And there I see that in the 6,000th year, when the Kol Hayim Dover is over, 1,000 years of pain is finished, there will still be suffering because the 6,000th year is Erev Shabbos. It's the Friday, Erev Shabbos. Erev Shabbos does not start, the Shabbos does not start till the evening. So that over past half a day must go by before Mashiach will come, which means we have to pass the year 5,500, 500 years in the 6,000th year. And then, after Chatzais, it starts being considered, literally, Erev Shabbos. This is why I'm crying. This was a deep revelation. And then, Rabbi Akiva burst out crying, even more, with more bitter tears. This is brought elsewhere. Blessed HaGadol asked him, why do you cry so bitterly? To judge the extent of crying, you cry even more bitterly than I did. What worries you? Akiva answered, I cry at a much greater churban. That's not a churban. I cry at a churban that will come much closer than the one you see. I cry for the day when you will be nostalgic. They, when your Estalkus will cause a darkening of this tremendous light of Teta that you spread. So much Teta coming from one person, this continuous revelation of secrets of Teta. The day your Estalik, this fountain, will be shut or run dry, and all your wisdom will be kept locked in. This is why I cry even more bitterly than the loss that you see in the future. Stalkus of a tzaddik is a greater churban. Blessed Rabbi Godel said that Rabbi Akiva was the one Talmud who was fit to take over his wisdom, and of course that's what happened in later years. Like the day of Rabbi Godel's Stalkus came, he shut out the rest of the rabbis of the Gemara, and he revealed the secrets of Kabbalah to Rabbi Akiva alone. Meshed Abedu saw this. He was so
impressed by this, seeing the Akiva's rabbi, Rabbi Elazar HaGadol, that he said to Hashem, I have a craving desire. I have one request. I want this one. Rabbi Elazar HaGadol. He is the one I want. I want the knowledge that he is mine. He comes from me. And the Medrash says that Hashem granted his request. Therefore, the Medrash says the secret of the words that Moshe Rabbeinu had two sons. The wording of the pasuk is Shem Ha'echot Ke'eshem, the name of one. One, that's the first one. Its first son was Ge'eshem. Shem Ha'echot Eliezer, the name of the one, Eliezer, should be the name of the second, Shem Ha'sheni. Shem Ha'echot, the name of the one. What's the, it's not the one, it's the second, the special one. They asked Hashem, let him come from me. I want Elazar HaGadol to come from me. Therefore, the word Ha'echad Eliezer to Rabbi Elazar HaGadol was originally the son of Moshe Rabbeinu Eliezer. Ha'echad, the one and only one. So great that he was the Echad, the rabbi of Rabbi Akiva. The Zohar Kodesh tells us that two, Elazar HaGadol, why was he called Eliezer HaGadol? Why the word HaGadol? Well, Godel means the greatest, the eldest. We mentioned once that Elazar HaGadol, besides being the Gilgal, original one of Moshe Rabbeinu's son, Eliezer, he was also part, supposed to have been part of the ascetus Haruge Malchus, the brothers of Yosef HaTzadik, who sold him as a slave. Later, the trial came up in heaven, of course, and then it was replayed on earth. This was the Satan in heaven who brought this out. And on earth, a Roman king called in the 10 greatest rabbis, asked them the question, one kidnaps a Jew and sells him. What is the penalty? The penalty is death. They replied, he said to them, since I haven't got the brothers of Yosef HaTzadik to pay for this crime of selling him, then I'm going to take the next 10 greatest since their time. You'll pay for that crime. He killed 10. 10 of the greatest rabbis at that time. Rabbi Yishmael Kohen Gadol, Rabbi Shmuel Gamaliel Anasi, Rabbi Akiva, Yidin Bava, Chutzal Togeman. And, of course, there were only 9 brothers who sold Yosef HaTzadik. Rabbi Akiva took the place of the Shechina, which had joined these 9 in this plot, agreement to sell Yosef HaTzadik. Akiva was a Kodesh Lashem, a Kodesh, the Stalik for the sake of the Shechina. What about the fact that there were 9 who was missing? Missing one was Reuven. Where was Reuven at the time of the sale? He was home taking care of his father Yaakov Avinu. But what part did he play in this sale? When the first plan came up to kill Yosef HaTzadik, so Reuven spoke up, Vayatzilehu miyadam. He rescued Yosef HaTzadik from their hands. How? He said, let us throw Yosef HaTzadik into this pit, rather than to be guilty of pouring his blood. Though the Gemara says that this pit had poisonous snakes, the scorpions in it, Gemara points out clearly, Mefarshim, very important to note, 2 things. What kind of a favor was this to throw him into a poisonous snake pit? In the first place, the pit was 20 amos deep, about 40 feet deep. It was dark, so that he couldn't really know that there were snakes there. Perhaps had he known, he wouldn't have done it. On the other hand, even if he did know there were snakes, Lussenzahl points this out, that if he had a choice between the two, he said better to throw him to the snakes than to leave him in the hands of his brothers, because a Baal Bechida, one who has a choice, has more power than the Satan, the Malach HaMavis. The Satan, Rabbeinu Zal says, would always gladly
If he's attacking a tzaddik, trying to get at him, he has a chance to get the tzaddik to fall into the hands of a different person, he would gladly give him over to the hands of the other person, because a human can do more damage to a person than an angel. And he said to himself, and therefore, Uwe felt, let him better be thrown to the snakes, where he stands a chance of being saved through a miracle, through tefillah, much more than being saved from these humans. That's if he did know about it. In any event, in all probability, he didn't know. That's why the Gemara brings out the depth of this pit. So what he did was he saved him from death, intended to save him from either being killed or being sold as a slave, which is the equivalent of death because it carries a death penalty, and instead threw him into a pit. But a pit is what the Tanit terms a prison, based on Sudan. Therefore, the Zayin HaKadosh says that since Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol, he was called HaGadol because he was the Gilgal of Reuven HaGadol Shebi Achim, the eldest of the brothers. Because he did not take part in the sale of Yosef HaTzadik, he only had him thrown in prison. Therefore, the Gemara says in the Avodah Zarah that he too was taken in by the Roman king. But he wasn't killed as the others. He was put into prison. He was put on trial later. And the end was that he was released. He was kept in prison for a while. This is the reason why he's called Eliezer HaGadol. HaGadol, the oldest of the brothers, Reuven, went through this experience in payment for the act of Reuven, while the others went through actual death in payment for Gnei Vishmuchori. Same time, it's important to note, this is brought further in Sifrei Kabbalah, that we find in the Torah that when Yaakov Avinu was nostalgic, he gave the brachas to his children, and Reuven he placed the curse on. He said to Reuven, you are Reuven Bechayri, you are my firstborn, the Gadol Sheba'achem, the eldest. And Yeser Se'es V'Yeser Oz. That means, being the firstborn of Bechayr, you should have gotten both the Kahuna and the Malchus. You should have been king of the Jews, and the Kohen being the oldest. You lost that because Oz Chilalta Yitzui Allah. You have committed a Chil HaBris. The Pasuk says that after the Istalkos of Leah, Yishkav Reuven, as Bilhah, Reuven committed with Bilhah, the wife of Yaakov. Committed what? Yaakov said, Oz Chilalta Yitzui Allah. You committed a chil habris with my bed. The Gemara says what was done. It would seem from here that there was a serious crime. The Gemara says anybody who dares to say that Reuven chata committed a sin is a tayah, a fool, and a rasha. Say it about Reuven atzadik. Because it says v'yishkav Reuven, why does it use that term and the curse? Reuven did something for the sake of the honor of his mother Leah. He took the bed of Yaakov and moved it out of Bilhah's tent because he said, if my mother Leah was nostalgic, then certainly it doesn't mean that Rachel's maid should take over. At least it should be Zilpah, maid of my mother. Let her at least take her place. So he moved the bed of Yaakov out of Bilhah's tent. Because he had done this, he had dared to do something which refers to something so delicate, it was classified as though he had committed this sin with Bilhah, Chas V'Shalom. That term is used, but it is not Chas V'Shalom meant, because Reuven was pure, and he can't have taken up this. Proof is, the Gemara says, it says, Vayihu b'nei Yaakov shnei mosa. Sons of Yaakov were 12, all alike. There was no difference as far as Kedusha was concerned. We speak of the sons of Yaakov's families, we say, Hada Uveini, Hashimaini, not Reuven, Shimon, but Hada Uveini, Hashimaini. And so each one has the Shevet called Ha Reuveini, for example. The Gemara says, note the Hey at the beginning, the Yud at the end. That means that Hashem is Mitzaref. He attaches his name to each one, Yud-Kei, to show that each one of them is holy. Since Reuven has the same Hoda Uveni, Hashem added his name to each one. This is only where they are at Tzaddik. Take an openness. Yet we find that Reuven was separated from the brothers because of this until his passing. Then we find the bracha that Moshe Rabbeinu gave to the Shvatim. The first words were Yechi Reuven al Yalnais. Reuven, who was cut off by Yaakov Avinu, his bones could not rest. He couldn't go to Gan Eden. Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Let Reuven live the al Yalnais, and not be considered dead." In heaven, what is called death, Gehenna is called death, Gan Eden is called life. Let Reuven be spared, save that they enter into Gan Eden. This was the case with Reuven, and Eliezer and Godov, being the Gilgal of Reuven, therefore it was his lot to be separated from the rabbis during the machlekes of the Tanu Shel Achnoi, machlekes with the oven. But because he maintained his din that the oven is toher, when the rabbim, the Jari rabbis said toher, when they said it was tomei, he said it was toher, the rabbis put him in chedem. He was separated from them until the day of his passing, when they said the chedem is released. He is free. Going through the same exact experience as Reuven, separated from his brothers, separated from the rabbis, till the day of his stalkers. This is why he is called Eliezer HaGodel, the Godel Shebe Achim, HaEchod Eliezer. This is the one that Moshe Rabbeinu selected for himself. And yet, despite all his greatness, Yochanan ben Zakkai called him by his name because as a student, he gets no kavod, and this would help him in future years. Blessed HaGodel said during all his lifetime that I know nothing. This shows the true student type of Rav Nosson Zal. I know nothing at all. Whatever I say, anything I ever say in my lifetime, is only what I received from my Rebbe Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. There's one case in the Gemara where Rabbi Eliezer HaGodel was asked the question, and he tried to avoid, to shun the question, to change the subject, and with every possible power, till he told them that the answer to the question about why he was, what made him have a long life, that he answered, the reason for my living so long is, this I did not hear from my Rebbe. That's why he tried to avoid it till he was pressed to it. He said, "What time are you making me break my habit?" The reason is that I never allowed anyone to come to the yeshiva before me. I was always the first one to come to the yeshiva. Never considered against my covenant to come earlier. The Gaidim say that because this was one of the qualities, Blessed HaGodel came first to the yeshiva, he was zecher with this, to be the first rabbi mentioned in Shas. Shas begins with the Yomar HaBrachim, Yomosek Kenei Shema B'Yarvis, Blessed HaGodel Eimer. First name of a rabbi mentioned in Shas is Blessed HaGodel. Because he was the first one to come to the yeshiva always, never let anyone precede him, was zecher, reward, to be rewarded by having his name mentioned, very first rabbi in all of Shas. Now this, again, was the loyalty of Blessed HaGodel to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and through being treated in such manner, he learned the Derech Eretz, but because he had this Derech Eretz, therefore, he has Derech Eretz in fear. The Gemara says that a person who has a deep love for rabbis, that person is zecher, that he'll have son and sons-in-law rabbis. He has a deep ahava for rabbis, and it'll be zecher that his daughters will marry rabbanim. Person has a respect, very high respect. That's the difference. A deep respect for rabbis, his schar will be, he will have sons who are rabbis, his own sons will be rabbis. Person who has a deep fear, tremendous fear and awe of rabbis, that person will be zecher, that he himself will become the great rabbi. The Gemara says, what if that person is not fit to become a rabbi? What if he has epic capacity for it, at least to become great, an authority where his words will be listened to and accepted by all others as a rabbi would? But this, because of this deep fear that the Eliezer HaGadol had for his rabbi,
Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai,
he would never dare to say a word he hadn't heard from him. Therefore, he became Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol.
And this we see, too, Rosenzweig's secret. He became so great. Rosenzweig became the top student of Rabbi Eliezer,
carry on after him because of the same type of midah. He dropped everything. He knew nothing, he said, except that which he learned and received from Rabbi Eliezer.
Nothing else counted as chachmah. Now we turn to the story of Rabbi Yossi and his encounter with Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi asked Rabbi Yossi, why did you go into this churva, this house that's destroyed? Rabbi Yossi answered, I wanted to daven. So Eliyahu HaNavi asked Rabbi Yossi, why didn't you daven outside on the road? Why? Because the churva is a place that's destroyed, the home that's destroyed, and there is the constant danger of shedim there. Why is there a danger of shedim?
Well, let's study the nature of shedim in general. Yor says that shedim have powers that are far superior to humans. Shedim are half angel, half man. If they are superior, much more powerful, what would their nature be? Would they be glad they are shedim, or would they prefer being human? The Gemara says that shedim, regardless of their power, are constantly envious of humans. They're envious of the fact that a human could reach a madrega even higher than an angel. And therefore, this envy makes them become mazikim. This is the reason why they do harm, why they hurt humans. To the extent that they are willing to maim, to cripple, or even to kill a human being, this is out of envy. We find that the pasuk says that Cain killed Hevel because of jealousy. Jealousy, kinah, can be so great, it can lead to destruction. But this is the nature of shedim. Now, where do shedim live? Where are they found? The Gemara says that shedim originally had the freedom of roaming the streets of cities, and every person's life was in danger. When they would come in, they could do physical harm or property damage unlimited. They had this power. Till the Gemara says one day the shedim came into the city, they met it with Rabbi Chaim ben Deisa. Rabbi Chaim ben Deisa was one of the Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. He was so great, if you recall, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai's child was ill, and Rabbi Chaim ben Deisa's tefillah cured his child because of the fact that he was called, like himself, being a child of Hashem, the beloved child of Hashem. So powerful was his tefillah. Well, these shedim, this band, now the Chaim ben Deisa, they wanted to do him harm, to cripple him, and they stopped short. They asked them, why do you stop? Why don't you go on with your work? And they said, because we visited heaven. We visit heaven regularly. And in heaven, we hear a voice constantly saying to us, beware of Rabbi Hanina and his Taita he learns. Beware of him because he is very precious in heaven, which means watch out, don't start with him. That's why we don't touch you. The Chaim ben Deisa said, if that's the case, if I am that valuable in heaven, then I hereby order you to permanently cease coming into the cities. You are expelled from entering these cities. Shedim knew this sport meant that they would be kept out forever. They pleaded with Rechida Medesa,
"Don't block us completely. Give us a chance. Let us have some pleasure, too, of seeing your cities. Let us come at least at certain periods. Give us a set time." He said, "Fine, I'll give you 2 times a week that you're allowed to come into the cities. One is Tuesday night, the other is Friday night."
Why these 2 times? Because during those times, Friday night,
the nature of a Jew is night of Shabbos, that he eats a meal which is incomparable. The food of Shabbos has tavlin, a spice in it, which cannot be found any other time of the week.
You make the same type of meat, same type of vegetables, and yet when you taste it on Shabbos, it has a different tone entirely. Even the challah, which a person does not find tasty and appetizing during the week, on Friday night tastes better than any cake during the week. Why? Because there's a special spice that gives Shabbos the ein elam haba, feeling a taste of elam haba. After the meal is over, there's another thing that has a spice on Shabbos. This is sleep. The word Shabbos, shin beis tav, v'shetavis is shena b'shabbos tainug. Sleep on Shabbos is tainug, also a pleasure that's like the elam haba. Sleep is 1/16 of death. So in addition, we said that the sleep of Shabbos also has a special spice to it. During the week, the Rizal says that it's wrong for a person to sleep by day. It's a little dangerous. If you go sleep by day, he's liable to have a different neshama come down, a bad neshama, chas v'shalom. In general, a person shouldn't sleep away. Shabbos is a special time when sleeping on Shabbos is shena v'shabbos tainug. Shin beis tav, special tainug to it, because shena, sleep, is 1/60th of death during the week. And Shabbos is 1/60th that comes after death, which means Gan Eden, also 1/60th of Gan Eden. Therefore, a person on Friday night is busy with Shabbos meal, he learns something, and he goes to sleep. A person generally does not walk outside of his house on Friday nights. Streets are empty, Jewish homes. That's why he said to the Shaydun, "Friday night, I grant you, and you can have it." Tuesday night, too, in those days, was a special night of staying in for various reasons. They gave him these 2 nights. Also, Tuesday night, of course, was a night of protection. It was a night of Ilavona, Besua Nisas, Lien Hanavi, Lidia Kodesh, as the Benazal brings up the Sefer Amidas, the proper date, night for a wedding. For Mesula is Tuesday night. First words of the Gemara Ksuba says that Mesula Nisas, girl is to be married, Liyem Hanavi, on the night of the 4th day, night of Wednesday, which means Tuesday night. The HaKadosh says that the first letters are Levona, the moon, which stands for the Shekhinah Mesula. So they gave him these 2 nights. The Gemara says that they had this 2 nights of freedom. Many years later, generations later, they came into the city again, and they met Abaye. Abaye is one of the 2 rabbis, Abaye and Rabba, from the Amoraim, later generation of Amoraim, the rabbis of the Gemara, who are most often mentioned in the Gemara. Havayis de Abaye and Rabba, it's called. The Gemara speaks about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, was one of the greatest students of Hillel HaZaken, that says, why was he so great? Because he knew all the Chedrei HaTorah. He knew the language of the Shadim, the language of the trees and everything. He knew the Kabbalah. He knew the Havayas, the Abaye and Rava. The questions that Abaye and Rava asked in the Gemara. When they're speaking about knowing Gemara, they mentioned Abaye and Rava. Shadim met Abaye. They wanted to harm him. And they said to him, we can't touch you. He said, why? He said, because in heaven it's, they say, be careful for Abaye and his Teda. Abaye said, if that's the case, then I hereby decree that you never come into this city again. That which the Chaim Adesa allowed you Tuesday night and Friday night, we now lose that privilege. And therefore, they do not come into the cities.
The Gemara asks, we see sometimes they do come into the city. The Gemara answers, but sometimes one of their horses gets lost and they send somebody to retrieve it. Sort of a sharp statement. In any event, they are not seen in cities anymore. Where do they assemble now? Where is their abode? Where do they reside? In the forests, places that are uncivilized. They are forced into areas that are not civilized, not inhabited, but they would certainly prefer to be among humans. And therefore, if they have their choice of living in a hut, in a home, in a castle, even in the forest, or in a broken-down home where a human once lived, they'd rather stay in that home where a human once resided. And that's why this churva, this destroyed home that was uninhabited, the Anavi said to Rabbi Yossi, this is a dangerous place because here is where the Shaitan would most probably want to congregate. You walk into this place, you are in complete danger. You're jeopardizing your own life by going in there. This thing could do you harm. Rabbi Yossi answered, I had this question in my mind too, but I had to decide between two items. One, the fact that the din says a person should not walk into a churba where shadim are, not daven in this home. Second, where could I daven? Outside? On the road? The din says you should not daven in an open place, because you haven't got the fear of Hashem on you except in a place which is enclosed. Daven inside. I had my choice. Where should I go? That's where I felt. Better daven inside with the fear of Hashem. Perhaps that will protect me. The end of the answer, then you should have davened outside. And as far as the fear of the open place, mainly because people could stop you, passers-by would stop you and ask. It's not like nowadays when a person would stand outside today would be, and he would be acting strange, nobody would stop and ask him if anything was wrong. He'd be afraid to get involved. In those days when people were normal, you'd see a person standing outside, motionless, eyes closed, they'd walk over and ask him, is anything wrong? Can I help you? And he mafsik him from davening. So, because of that danger, they might stop you. The Navi said the answer for that is there is a tefillah called Havinenu. It's an abbreviated tefillah, where the first beginning of the Ovis, the Brachis, beginning until the Kela Kodesh, you say, and then Atachinin, until Shmei HaTfilah, there's 13 brachas, because there's a compact bracha, one single bracha that contains all 13. The tefillah, the first bracha, Atachinin, is for Das, for wisdom. The second one, Ashivenu, is for Tshuva and Teder. Third is Slach Lanu Mechila. The fourth is Ger Yisrael, for Gula. The fifth of the Feder is for the four. The sixth Parechalenu is for Arnasa. And you have Lamar Shinim, the destruction of Atkaba Shefer for the Shefer of Mashiach, Hashim Shefteinu for the judges, our own rulers, Lamar Shinim, the destruction of Bikursim, Allah Tzadikim, the Tefillah, the Rishlaim Icha, the Shkinesh Eternity, the Rishlaim, Es Simach David, the rise of Melech HaMashiach, and then finally, Shemiah Tefillah, the Tefillah be accepted. This Bracha Avinu has all these words in one single bracha. Give us das, tshuva, teda, bechila, efua, panasa, and so forth. A person who is, case of emergency, unable to daven the entire davening, can say this bracha, this tefillah avinu. Now, of course, nowadays we don't say it, because nowadays we could daven the whole Shemoneh Esrei much faster than they could ever daven the avinu before. The kavana they had of avinu meant that it was an abbreviated tefillah, would cut down their davening to the length of time it would take us to say the whole Shemoneh Esrei plus probably the Kabbalah and the Ashrei and so on. This is what the enemy told Rabbi Yossi. You should have davened Havinenu. Then he said to Rabbi Yossi, when you were in there, did you hear anything? He said, yes, I did. I heard a voice, soft voice, like the cooing of a dove. Now, the Shechinah is compared to a dove, pigeon, kanfeyena. And this voice said, "Bose to the
how pitiful it is, what a pity it is that the children were driven away from their home. Jews driven from their home, driven away from the table of their father, the Beis HaMikdash. Woe is to the fact that I have destroyed the Beis HaMikdash and driven my children out of Eretz Yisrael. This is the Shechina bimoni, Rachel mevakeh al boneha. Again, the Rachel stands for the Shechina. But in the end of it, he said to Rabbi Yossi, it is true, this voice you heard. But know too that this is not the only time this voice says it. This voice comes every time that the Jews come to Shul, to Davon, and they say, Yehei Shemed Avon Varach, Yalom Emayis Barach. Every time the Jews say this, this voice comes from heaven and says, how beautiful is the tefillah of the Jews who give praise to Hashem. What a pity it is that these Jews, these children, were driven away from their father's home. And the more times that the Jews say Yehi Shemed with Kavana, the more they evoke the pity of Hashem from heaven, the more they strengthen the chances of Mashiach to come. With this Koyach of Tefillah, Yehi Shemed Avon, saying it, especially with the Iskashas to the Tzadik Emes, surely realize the Bias of Mashiach, the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, the Yul HaShleimah, Pheinah, Yemenu, Amen, Free Amen.